So hello, everybody, and welcome, yay, to our kickoff for the elimination diet. I like doing this as a group because it can be very confusing and it can be a little overwhelming when you're trying to figure out what some of these foods are that your body's not responding well to. So the purpose of today is for me to review the preparation processes and then review what I've put together in terms of the gradual elimination. One of the things that people often do is they go, we're going on an elimination diet, and they take everything out of their diet and they go down to like a 4 or 5 foods thing. And I've done that before and I've taught that before. And what I found is if there's some certain things that when you eliminate create like a detox reaction or a withdrawal reaction, or in the case of like oxalates, it can do an oxalate dumping reaction, then you feel worse rather than better when you remove the foods, right? So, you know, people who don't do well on a fast, like the ultimate elimination diet is a water fast. I do great on water fasts. A lot of people do great on water fasts, and some people crash and burn on a water fast, right? And a lot of that reason might be these withdrawal type symptoms that start up. And it's not worth it, right? It's just not worth it. Let's gradually get in there and then we can do it. And if you choose that you want to do a water fast as part of this, or you've done water fasts in the past and done well with it, you're welcome to just make that elimination piece a water fast. But we're gonna be eliminating some of these foods for longer than the 5 days of a water fast because you'll get a better response. And some people don't feel they don't suddenly feel great on a water fast. For me, when I did my first water fast, it was like all my symptoms went away. Holy cow. 3 days in, you know, it was hard the first few days, and 3 days in, I'm like, holy cow, everything's gone. But then I screwed up on the reintroduction. So my goal in doing this as a group is to support you in doing the elimination right and then doing the reintroduction right. And so what I've put out there before is to make sure that you do your preparation. And the preparation is just pretty simple. It's filling out some forms to get an idea of if you have a problem that might be food sensitivity related, and I know a lot of you do, and then which foods might be problematic. So my purpose today is I want to start with, I'm going to share my screen on the preparation diet preparation phase. So it's 4 different tabs, 4 different tiles and pages for the elimination diet on your site. So I'm going to make sure everybody knows where it is. It's in 2 places. So if you're in the Empowered Lab, it's on 1 page, but you also have access to the Nutrition Lab. So I'm just going to show you it in the Nutrition Lab. Actually, I think I opened it in the Empowered Lab, but it's in the Nutrition Lab. It's the same thing. You just go to your Nutrition Lab page and find it. I duplicated it in both places because I just didn't want you to have to jump around and it made logical sense in what we were doing. And the pages aren't duplicated. The pages are the same. It's just the links with the little pretty tiles on the dashboard are the same. When we finish with this, I'm going to get a real good sense of what your questions are and where everybody is. I'm going to put this recording, or, you know, an edited version of this recording on one of those pages wherever, or I may chop it off and put it wherever it belongs, right? Okay, here's the preparation. This will go there. Here's that. We're not going to get a lot into the reintroduction because I think it'll be overwhelming. What I want to do is once we've started to do the elimination, then we'll talk about, because everybody's going to start reintroducing maybe at a different stage, right? But I don't want to talk about that today because it'll be overwhelming. I'm going to just talk about the preparation and I'm going to give you the highlights of the elimination phases. And we'll have another call tomorrow where we can answer some questions and go deeper with whatever we need to go deeper, right? And some of you might be ready to eliminate already. Some of you are like, okay, I'm ready to jump in. And some of you may be going, I need a little bit more time, right? So is everybody good to go? What I want to do, yeah, you're drinking your tea, get your cup of tea handy and just sit with this. And I'm going to show you my ideas. Well, I'm going to show you what you have access to, and then I'm going to share with you a document I'm working on that I'm going to add to the page. I've got it about half done. I want to pretty it up. I've just been, you know, I type really fast and furious, and I'm not a good typist. So I have to make a lot of errors, but at least I have the basics that I can use to share it with you, and then I'll put that on the pages. Okay, I might record some separate videos for that as well. All right. So let me share my screen. All right. So the page I'm on right now is unstoppablehealth.com/empoweredhealthcarelab. If you're in not in Empowered, you're in Body Freedom Nutrition, you can get there the same way. I'll just show you that. And the pages are the same. So I already have those open. So it's not a big deal. And you're basically scrolling down the page until you get to identify your food sensitivities, right? And so I've clicked on this, these two today, and we're going to go through some of the stuff that's there to make sure. So put in the chat if you've already done all or most of your preparation instruction stuff. I just noticed today I had edited a video that was longer to separate it. This says provocation, allergy, elimination, provocation. Yeah, and I don't think it got uploaded. It was done like a month and a half ago, and it was split. So I'm thinking that this is still the full video. So it's the same video on both pages instead of it being sorted and split. And I'll find out what happened to that and get it split. It's not like you're missing anything. It's just like you have a duplication instead of here's the first part and here's the second part on the other page. So these are the questionnaires, and I'm going to go through them because I think it might have been Ronnie who said I'm a little confused about how to fill these out. So I want to go through each of them and explain to you why it's important to fill these out. And they're just basically questionnaires, and you could either do the online version or you could click here and do the PDF and just, you know, do it paper and pen the old fashioned way. Okay. All right, so if we look at this, the kinds of questions that I ask here and the frequency is to, because these are different symptoms that can be associated with food sensitivities. And it's not just stuffy nose and, you know, weepy eyes and coughing and sneezing and all that, but there's other things, skin breakouts, very much can be related to food sensitivity. Hives, obviously people know about that. Brain fog, right? That's something that people don't usually associate with food sensitivities. Itchy anus, that can be related. So all of these different symptoms can be related to food sensitivities. So you just circle, you never really have it, occasionally have it, maybe a couple of times a month at worst. That doesn't really mean you have a problem. The moderate, some severity or frequency, maybe the symptoms occur weekly, and severe, it means like, this is like the story of my life. I'm always swollen. I'm always itchy. I'm always whatever. You know, I get bloated every day after meals. So then these other questions are, do you have any diagnoses, right? You've been diagnosed with asthma, chronic sinusitis, psoriasis, et cetera, because these also play into, yeah, you need this. So the purpose of this is to find out, do you really need to do this, right? They figure in because you're here and because you joined the lab and because you're interested in doing an elimination diet that you are, you're going to know that you really do need this. But the other thing is we're going to do this later after the elimination, at the end of the elimination, before we do the reintroduction, to see if there's any improvement on any of these. So if your total score is greater than 60, very likely. If your score is between 30 and 60, good chance. If it's between 10 and 30, you may be reacting. Scores between 4 and 10, low risk, but this might be helpful anyway. There might be a few things. And then if it's between 0 and 4, congratulations, it's unlikely that the symptoms that you're experiencing are related to a particular food sensitivity. And that could be because you've already eliminated 75% of your previous foods and you don't have problems anymore. You know, if you're already on a gluten-free, dairy-free diet that you've eliminated shellfish and whatever else you might have been allergic to, then you're going to show up as not needing it. Okay. Any questions on that before we go to the next one?
Anyone? I have a question, Dr. Rita Marie. This is Gina.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, I completed this online and I never got an email. Was I supposed to get an email?
Yeah, you're supposed to get an email. Yeah, so we can investigate that. It's the weekend coming up, so I'm not gonna be able to investigate it shortly because the team has gone away. And we've had trouble with this and we're starting to move this particular platform that some people get emails, some people don't. It might've ended up in your spam, etc. So what I would recommend you do is just go back to the PDF and do it that way so you have a record.
Okay.
And I highly recommend that you guys get a three-ring binder and keep your stuff in the three-ring binder, because you want to track things. And tracking things when you rely on your memory doesn't work, because you're not going to remember what you were eating the 3 days before you were having a particular breakout. You're not going to remember that. Nobody does, unless you have a photographic memory. So I recommend that you keep a binder and maybe have tabs in it. The tabs, one tab is for your assessments, right? And you have your assessments at the beginning, and you have another tab for your assessments at the end of the elimination phase. And then you have another one that may be your food diaries. And I'll show you some other things you can keep track of, your symptoms and all that. And then you have this. And so if you get on one of our support calls, all you have to do is pull out your binder when I ask you questions, which I inevitably will, right? When you say this kind of stuff. Make sense? Yeah. So that's what I would recommend you do. It's a real short one. So you just print it out and do it. Okay. Any other questions? Just open your line. And if you're on Facebook and you have questions, let me go in there and I will have my pages, my services. Here we go. Facebook. Let me make sure that I am seeing us. There we go. I do see us. And here's what I have to do right now. I'm going to turn off my volume. Otherwise, you'll hear me echoing. And then I'm going to open up the section with the good. I'm going to click on this. And I'm going to check the thing. And I'm going to make sure that this is set to there. All right. So if there's comments and you're on Facebook and not on Zoom, just go ahead and type them and I'll periodically come back here and we'll look at it. All right. So that's the elimination phase. Let me go back here. That's that. All right. So the next one is identifying your potential food triggers. And this is a long one. Did you do this one, Gina, and get the results of this one?
Which one is this?
This is a food frequency. And you have this long list.
Yeah, that's the one I filled out, Dr.
And Rita. The idea and the reason we're doing this, why is it taking so long? Oh, you have to fill it in and then you get the next page. So I usually do the cheating way of doing this. I'll just put my name in there and I'm going to put A. Fill these in and I want to show you what the rest of the form looks like, because these things play in. Okay, so I'll just go through a couple of these. How often do you eat on the run and in restaurants? This is really important when we're doing a food elimination, because eating on the run is gonna present you with higher levels of cortisol, which means your digestive tract is gonna shut down. So we wanna be able to discern whether you're having problems with a particular food or set of foods, or if the problem is that your digestion is shut down because of the cortisol levels. Okay, that's why I asked that question. Coffee, alcohol, those sorts of things will inhibit some of the stomach acid and digestive enzyme production. So those are important. And we'll see as part of the, you don't have to do it before it, but we're going to actually see a section of the re-elimination where you're going to eliminate the caffeinated beverages, except for maybe green tea. The foods you eat most frequently are suspect until we prove them innocent. So if you eat kale every day, or you eat bananas every day, or you eat something else every day, even if they're good foods, those you have to make sure that you basically rule them out as suspects. What do you consider binge foods? The reason I ask this is that we generally crave foods that we're either allergic to or have an intolerance to. Usually the ones that we're gonna crave are things like your gluten and dairy type products, because they produce things called caseomorphines and gluteomorphines. And it's kind of like being on cocaine, right? Yeah, have a little, you want more, you crave it. So if you have foods that you eat a little bit of, and it's like, you can't turn it off. You got to have more. Likely it's one of your sensitivity foods and you're going to put it on your list of suspects. I'll show you where you put that. Okay. So if there's foods that you crave or consider binge foods, either one, I worded it both ways because people describe it in different ways. Oops. I thought I put something in there. Your favorite foods, the foods you eat most frequently, like all of these are together. Like these are foods. I'm going to show you how to do this. We're going to put on our suspect list as we start to eliminate. Okay. Any questions so far on that? Oops. No, we're good. Yeah. Wheaton, unmute yourself.
Is gluteomorphine in all grains or just gluten grains?
Oh, wait, I've got it. Now I can I changed it on the site, so I can change it here. Okay, now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Do all grains have gluteomorphines or just certain grains?
You know, I always thought it was mostly the gluten grains. I've been listening to a book called Wheat Belly, and he's talking about that a lot of the grains produce their own form of the morphines. And so you're going to see in one of the first days, we're going to eliminate all grains as part of the elimination process.
Okay. Right?
And then we can add them back. But yeah, that's a great question. Okay. So the rest of this is more on how often do you drink coffee? How often do you drink decaf, tea, herbal tea? I shouldn't have said that because I drink it all the time. I never drink. So beer, wine, we're just trying to get a sense of this. Beer, you have to be careful of because it's made from barley usually. And so it could have gluten in it. So you think you're on a gluten-free diet, but you're drinking beer once a week. That's enough. Okay, so we ask you these questions and then you fill them in. Now there's frequency, and I'm not going to go through all of this because they're all the same, but it's just groups of foods. And we're going to look at how often you're eating them. So for each of these, you indicate never once a month or less, once a week or less, twice a week, three, four, five, six, and daily, right? The foods that you eat most regularly, we're going to be looking at towards the end of the or when you're ready to start introducing. So those are the first week, second week. We're going to tailor your elimination diet based on the foods you eat a lot. And based on whether you react to these or you believe you react. Can you mute yourself, please? So whoever is unmuted, please mute yourself. Because it's making a lot of noise. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so we're going to be looking at this and you're going to get a report on this. So if you don't get a report on this, we'll check into this and make sure. But fill this out. Has anybody filled this out yet? Yeah, did you get a email back that had your...
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So I filled out the food frequency checklist that I printed out, but this one is more comprehensive that you're showing. What's the difference?
The one you printed out from here, where it says here?
No,
it was in the email.
It was attached to the email that you sent out, I think, or from the email, anyway.
Well, I linked you to the page. This one? Is this the one?
Yeah. But it doesn't go as far as what you showed on the other one.
Well, there's that section. There's the meat one. There's the nuts one. There's the eggs one. Yeah, it looks like it's got everything that the other one has.
Well, there's questions there that I didn't see on that. The one you were just showing didn't have, anyway, maybe it's just the way it's set up.
Yeah, so it looks different because it's set up in a different way, but it looks
okay.
Like it's got everything in it. Yeah, everything okay. That's important is in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody else have a question?
Yeah, I do. Dr. Rita Marie? Okay. I filled it out on, I didn't do it online. So you prefer us to do it online? I did it.
No, you don't have to.
No,
you don't have to do it online. You can do it wherever, however you want, whatever is more comfortable for you. Lynn?
Mine doesn't have the questions on there either. Like how much chicken, how much beef, the one I printed out, I printed it.
Is it a 10 pager like this?
From the website.
This was the way you get to this is if you click the food frequency checklist here.
Yeah.
You click this, it takes you here, and then you click here.
Yeah,
that's what I just did. So
but on mine, it's not showing up those questions, how much chicken, how much beef. It doesn't show those on my printout.
Well, I don't know what to tell you because it's all here in the document. So I'm going to put this link in the chat and I go back and compare it. Maybe your printer ran out of ink in the middle of typing. I don't know what to say on that because I'm going through the steps. So all you have to do is go through these steps and you'll get it.
So that's the same thing I had issue with. So
we'll yeah, both of us didn't get it. And I'm printing it off of the website and I'm looking at it.
So go ahead and do what I'm doing right now. Go to the preparation page, click on identify your food triggers, and you should see this form that shows up.
Yeah, I just did that.
And then click here to access the PDF.
Yeah.
And you're not, what does the link at the top say?
It's different than what you had on the other one.
I just put it in the chat. I don't understand how we could both be doing the same thing.
I don't either.
And not seeing the same thing. It like defies.
There seem to be questions on yours. What foods do you crave most? There seem to be other questions like how much chicken, how much beef that didn't.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, that's page 3.
It starts on page 3.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when I printed it out, I got the same thing. It's page 3.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what to say on that because it's right here. So I just put the link in there. Make sure that that's the link that you were going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's here. So I, you know, that's not a problem we can solve for you. It's a problem that you need to figure out how to get that. You know, it might be cutting you off. I have no idea. That's, yeah, because it's all there. So I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's about, so it says, the one is once a month, once a week. That's maybe, is that what you're confused about, Lynn? Because that's what I'm seeing now. The numbers have to do with how many times a week you eat.
Right, yeah. The numbers are right here.
Yeah, right.
But right, and then you just go down and, you know. Okay. Anyway. All right.
In pages, it just looked laid out differently than the one you were showing, but the one you're showing now is like the one that's printed.
Okay, this one, yeah. But this one is the online version, which it's laid out differently just because, you know, it's online. It looks different. This
I see what you're saying. Yes.
So that's a drop down. Instead, the other, you have to do the number.
Yes, that's what it right? is.
You can't do a drop down in a PDF, you know.
Right.
Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to check with the Facebook crowd if there's anybody there. Nobody was there before, so I think everybody just got on here. Let's see. Yeah, Saliva, the link actually goes to Amazon. The PDF links only link download here. I'm going to put that in the chat here on Facebook. And yeah, I got 17. I don't know what that means. Reply. I'm just going to put this here. And I'll make sure I come back here afterwards if you're missing. Oh, the link I just put in goes here. It's an Amazon link, but it's not an Amazon link. Our server is our place where we put all of our documents is actually on an Amazon product. You know, we pay Amazon to store our documents for us. So it would say, all of our stuff would say that. Okay, so it's going to the right place. Let me go back here. All right, I'm gonna go and put, all right, I'm gonna have to come back. If you're on Facebook, actually all these links are on the site. So there's really no need for me to put them in.
Right, right.
Need access, yeah. Okay, so this is a different. All right, I'm gonna come back here. Just go to the page, the food intolerances page. That link is here. And that was the link I put in the email. If you're not getting the emails, if you're listening here and you haven't gotten my emails, I'm wondering how you even got into the Facebook group in the first place. If you're not in one of these programs and you applied to be part of the website, and somebody let you in by accident, it's, you don't have access to this stuff because you're not a member and you have to join. We have a special going on right now where you can join for a few weeks, 2 weeks for $10 and check it out. And if you like it, you can stay and pay the full fee.
Dr. Rita Marie, I'm still not getting the emails, but I was able to access it because Christina helped me. She sent me a link to get on this Facebook group. I got on, it was actually in the program. And so I got on the Facebook group, and then you posted the link on the Facebook group.
So okay, that's so how let me ask you this. You, do you have access to the site?
Right.
You have access to all the pages. When you joined, did you get a thing that says sign this agreement?
I did it three times. You guys sent it to me.
I did it. Okay. Yeah. So I don't understand, and I'm going to have you write to Christina again, because I can't take your name and email address now.
Right.
Write to Christina again, and then I'm going to explain to her how to look it up and see, because a couple of people, like Lynn, I think it was Christina, somebody said that they weren't getting the emails. I went into the thing, I looked in your record, and you got the email. So it
I know. She showed it to me. I did see the emails, but I scrubbed my spam. I went back and did the whitelist. I'm still not getting them.
Well, so, that's not our end. That's your
probably server, me,
right? It's like your server. Is it Yahoo? Is it
no? Hotmail? It's Microsoft.
Yeah. So apparently they didn't let that email through. So you need to get on them and say, hey, I'm in this program and they're sending me emails and I'm not getting them. You need to make sure they get through. You have to actually notify your ISP.
I will do that. But anyway, you guys helped me get in. So I'm in, you know, the roundabout, but I want to get the emails. So.
Oh yeah, I want you to get the emails. I spent a lot of time writing those emails. I have a group for all of you that I write the emails myself and go in there and put them in there myself, because.
And she showed me that it was like, I didn't open them, and I went through I scrubbed my, and it was weird. So yeah, I'll call them because I want to get these emails.
Yeah, I'm getting other stuff. No, are you getting other emails from me?
What's interesting, if I got your event like yesterday, because I signed up on the web page and the program for the herbal one, and I got noticed for that. So if I go into and click on your program in the website, I get notification, but I don't get automatic emails. It's weird. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, but it's Christine's probably been there.
Really helpful. She's been great.
Yeah, she's very helpful. Good. I'm glad. Okay. All right. Let me see if there's anything else on the website. So on Facebook, so everybody can still hear. It says Selvina. Yeah. So again, the PDF is there. A lot of people got it. It's 10 pages long. If you're not, then there's an issue on your side. It doesn't go to Amazon. It goes to, see, it says here, drritamarie.s3.amazon.materials. Okay. If it doesn't allow you in, it may be that you're not actually in the program and you just found this group and found this and you're not going to get access to the materials unless you join. So that's something to look at. If you're still having trouble, I would recommend that you reach out to helpdesk@drritamarie.com and she'll help you.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
As long as you're talking about finding things on the site, I would note that under the calls section, this call and tomorrow's call don't show up at all.
They don't. They don't. These are extra things that we added. This is all extra stuff. And the extra stuff, if I have to give it to my team to do all that, it costs me a ton and it's a lot of time and I can't just get you an email quickly. So you won't find these. The reason is they need to know in advance when we're going to do these calls. These calls are going to be scheduled extemporaneously. So it's not like the herbal class where it's every week, you know, it's not like the ERC or these are extras. These are totally extras. So you won't find them on the call page.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, because in order to get them on the call page, I have to tell them like 2 weeks in advance to be able to get it all set up. I don't have 2 weeks in advance to tell them. We're just looking at my calendar week by week and going, okay, when can I fit this in this week? When can I do it next week? You know, and how many days? So originally we were just going to do it. Originally we were just going to do this with Facebook. So that's what I really want to do, is just do them as Facebook Lives. And then we can post them in Facebook. A lot of people weren't in the Facebook group, so I kind of freaked out about that. I'm like, wait, there's only 50 people in the Facebook group. I got to send them emails to get them to join the Facebook group. So yeah, that's the whole point. So thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. Okay. Are we good to go? I don't see any other notes in Facebook. So we're on preparation. Identify your food triggers. Learning to spot potential food triggers is a document. And we originally created this for a program I called the Food Allergy Spy Training, which is a whole program on this. So you guys are actually getting this, you know, completely with no extra charge. This was a program we charged like a couple $100 to do because it included all these calls. So we're just doing this as part of this. So when you're getting ready, right? You fill out your food frequency assessment, the one we just talked about. I would say highlighters are going to be really helpful for reviewing that document, right? So you get a red highlighter, and those are your no foods, right? Your no foods. Any foods that you're on that frequency list that you know that you've tested out allergic to at some point in time, even if it was 3 years ago, because we want to really be careful in doing the elimination in case it's still triggering you. Any feely foods that you know that after you eat it, you just feel tired, or you get a headache, or you just don't feel so good, vague, but whatever, you mark them in red. All foods to which you suspect an intolerance or have read or heard might be problematic for you. Foods that you never eat, no matter what the health benefit, because you're not going to include these in your elimination diet. If you hate Brussels sprouts and there's no way you're going to ever eat it, or if you're Jewish and you never eat pork, or for whatever reason, there's foods that you will never eat, don't want to eat no matter what, mark them in red. You're not going to include those. All foods you deliberately avoid for health or spiritual reasons, like, you know, the pork and Jewish and the gluten, you've already included, you're already off of gluten, you're already off of dairy, eggs, whatever you've discovered and are doing, you mark them in red, because don't even consider them as part of your potential plan for the elimination. All foods you crave, binge on, or would continue to eat even if no longer hungry. Who has some of those foods? Anybody? Yeah, we all do. What is
macadamia
it?
Macadamia nuts.
Macadamia nuts. Oh God, those are so good. Don't get me started. I'm on day four of a water fast. All processed foods, mark them off, right? No, we're not going to do processed foods during this. It's too risky. Processed foods usually are crappy ingredients, but even if they're decent ingredients, there may be a hidden stuff. It's made in a plant that processes dairy or gluten or something else. So the processed foods.
Yep. Does that include, you know, Sun Warrior protein powder?
No, that's okay. Unless you have a problem with it. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Caffeinated beverages, we're going to talk about the weaning out of that, but mark them off. Alcoholic beverages, foods containing oxidized fats, margarine, etc. Sweeteners. Okay. And as I take you through how we're going to do the elimination, I'm phasing these things out if you're still on them, but you're going to mark them in red because those are going to be eliminated. All foods in the top 10 most common food allergens list. Okay. And we're going to do this in a phased approach, but you're still going to mark them in red, right? Gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts, strawberries are up there. Now, they may be something you're going to reintroduce early on because you don't suspect it, but let's just be careful. I'm rethinking the citrus, so I would probably say the citrus is probably okay unless you know you have a problem with it or it shows up somewhere else. Shellfish and chocolate. Okay, these are the most common allergens. If you've already done an elimination diet and ruled out and you're 100% certain that strawberries aren't a problem, then you can include strawberries. But I would say at least for the first week, until we start to add things back, you'd leave them out. The go foods, right? Those that are unlikely to be your trigger foods. All foods you never eat or rarely eat. If you never eat them and you're having symptoms that are occurring several times a week, it's unlikely that something that you eat once a year is going to be causing it. Say you never eat okra, except once a year you go to your grandma's barbecue in June and she makes you eat her okra. It's unlikely that okra is going to be causing you a problem. Foods that you've recently added to your diet because of health benefits, but you've never eaten them before your symptoms started. So if there's stuff that now you're eating regularly, but you don't see that there's a problem and you've never eaten them before your symptoms started. Okay. That's going to be rare, unless like you were on the herbal thing yesterday and heard me talk about bamboo powder and you started bamboo powder and you've never eaten it before and you don't have a problem eating it. It's unlikely that it's a problem. Foods that you absolutely know are good for you. When you eat them, you feel steady, strong, and sustained. You never overeat them. How many people, you know, with something like an arugula salad, how many people overeat that? I mean, I usually grab this big bowl and I get halfway through and I go, okay, I'm full. Right? Yeah. Okay. So those are the greens. The yellows are a little touchy, right? The yellows are the maybes. So with your yellow highlighter, you're going to look at things like sugar substitutes. Stevia, some people have a problem with. Xylitol, I've rethought that. We're going to put that in the red for part of it, and I'll show you why when we talk about that list. All foods that you eat more than three times a week, except for those that you've recently started to eat within the past month or two, definitely much more recently than the onset of your symptoms, right? So if you have kale four to five times a week, it may be a problem, maybe not a problem. Right? So we're going to put it in the cautious column. All the remaining grains and grain products, we're going to put those this time in the red. Okay. I rethought that. So I have to redo this document, but I think that the grains, we're going to eliminate all of them at this point. And yeah, you can put them in red, because yellow, but you don't, because you don't know. But for this, putting this together, you're going to do this. So what I would recommend you do is take your list, get your highlighters, and sit down and mark it up. Does this make sense? Yes. Is this clear? Yeah? Yes. Okay. Let me see if anybody's on Facebook saying anything. If you're on Facebook, it'll be a delay when you put your stuff in and when I answer it. That's the elimination.
Dr. Rita Marie, when you say the list to highlight, is it the list that was in the previous document, or is there a food list somewhere?
This one. This is all the foods.
Okay, so from that list, we're going to go through that and highlight.
Just go through that and make it red. You're going to also use this for the reintroduction phase too, like when we're going to do it. We are not going to reintroduce the foods you already know that you've had a problem with first. We're going to reintroduce to build up your repertoire slowly. So yes, that's true. Okay. Okay, let's go back here.
Dr. Rita Marie, what's the name of that document with the food list?
Okay, so you see this preparation page?
Okay.
Okay, learning number three, step three.
Number three, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, track your food intake and symptoms. This really helps a lot. I know it's a pain in the butt. You can do it with one of my trackers. You can do it in Chronometer. Chronometer is where I recommend. And they also have a place in there you can put notes. So you can actually track your symptoms along with your foods. So I would highly recommend that you do it. And when you do it in Chronometer, if you're putting in your breakfast and your breakfast has these three ingredients, you can then go and click add note and add it to your breakfast section, like, or an hour after the breakfast, you're starting to feel woozy or lightheaded or brain foggy. That way we'll be able to see how all of this fits together. If you're not using Chronometer, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. So I have an Excel sheet. If you're proficient with Excel sheets and you want to do it online, you're welcome to do that. But here's the PDF. Most people just like to print it out. I like, you know, print out several copies of the second page. These are instructions for using this sheet. And then here's the sheet. And you can just print multiple copies of this. Okay. And it has like check boxes for how much water you're drinking. Some of your symptoms might be hydration related, guys. I see this all the time. People are having headaches and then we look and they're only drinking 2 cups of water a day. It could be related. So we're going to help you keep track of this. If you use Chronometer, like I said, it's automatic and, you know, keeps track of all that. Chronometer.com. So you're going to keep track of what you're eating. And then you're going to create your personalized suspicious food list. So before we said suspicious and we gave you general guidelines, now you're going to put in the green stuff. Like I love, whenever I eat arugula, I feel, oh, so good for the rest of the day. My son says that about oatmeal. He says, if I have a bowl of oatmeal, I don't get hungry for like 6 hours after. And he puts like protein powder in his oatmeal. But if he eats something else, he realizes that, you know, he's craving food within an hour. So I want you to have all the foods that you know make you feel absolutely great in the green. Foods that you absolutely know cause you a problem in the red, the foods that cause me problem. And then foods you're suspicious about. Like, I don't know how I feel after I do that. You just put them in that column. Okay. And we're going to use that as part of our process for creating your plan for elimination for elimination. And then use it again for provocation. You're not going to say, oh, these foods I know cause me a problem. I'm done with the elimination phase. Today's my first day of the provocation reintroduction. I'm going to pick my favorite food that I know used to cause me problems, but I want to get it back in. Probably not a good idea, right? You want to keep the sustain the goodness and build a repertoire of foods that make you feel great. And then you introduce the others. Things like gluten and dairy, I don't recommend you ever add back, but 6 months minimum. And then you go, how am I feeling? Are all my symptoms gone? Do I feel like top of the world? Well, let me see how I feel. If you're still having symptoms that are bothering you on a regular basis, how are you gonna know if these things are having a problem for you? Okay, questions on this? And you can again, print it out and make multiple copies of it.
Would you repeat what you said, 6 months on dairy and
gluten? You should be off of gluten for at least six months on dairy. Yeah, or forever is really what I recommend.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't hear the gluten part. Okay.
Yeah, gluten and dairy, minimum 6 months, but you know, forever is probably better.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
If we have foods that make us feel great, but we pretty much eat them every day, are we not supposed to eat them now?
Good, that's my question.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna get to that as I explain the elimination. But yeah, that's a good question because if they do and you're pretty certain they're not causing a problem, what we'll do is we'll reevaluate like a week in on the elimination diet and see, and then we may have to fine tune and pull things out. What I'm trying not to do is get you to the point where you're doing the old fashioned elimination diet where you have 5 foods you're eating and that's it. Because you get pretty darn sick of it after a while, right? And you could create other food stuff. And what we're going to do with this, and you'll see it in the elimination, the reintroduction phase, is make sure you're working on your gut. Because if you have a lot of food sensitivities that are allergy related, then, and even oxalate sensitivities, FODMAP sensitivities, it all goes back to your gut. How well is your gut processing the food? So we'll talk about that in the I don't want to confuse you now. We'll talk about that in the next section.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So there's foods that since sweet spot, like this is 8 months ago, I haven't had. I don't know what they do to me.
Good. Keep them out until the reintroduction phase.
Okay, so that's a question. It's like grapefruit. How do I know if it's bad for me?
That doesn't matter at this point because you're avoiding it.
Okay.
If you're already avoiding foods for whatever reason, they're allergic, they're high glycemic, and you haven't done it, don't take this time to add them back.
Okay.
Reintroduction phase is when you add them back. What we're trying to do is design your elimination diet. So you've been eliminating them, foods you've already been eliminating, keep eliminating, right? Until we get to the reintroduction phase. And then I'll share with you how to know what's the priorities for reintroduction. I have foods that I haven't eaten in years. I haven't eaten mangoes. I eat occasionally a little tiny bit. Grapefruits occasion, you know, so there's a whole bunch of those things. I haven't eaten grains in years,
yeah, I don't either.
Right? I haven't eaten legumes in years, except for maybe an occasional taste when my husband's making hummus and he wants me to taste it to see if it's good for my kid, right? I don't eat that stuff. I don't miss it. I don't care about it. So I don't care about reintroducing that. At some point I'll go, okay, test it. I tested chestnuts last week, not deliberately, but my husband made this big thing. And I'm like, oh, they look so good. Let me try them. And my sugar shot up to 150. So not a food that I want to eat on a regular basis, right?
Okay. So this is, I feel like I've been on an elimination diet for 8 months. I don't know what to do yet.
And you probably have. As I go through the elimination piece, you may say, I'm already doing that, already doing that, already doing that, right? And then you have to look at, okay, but I still have some symptoms. I'm still tired. I'm still whatever. Then you're trying to look at other suspicious foods to pull out. And then we're going to start adding them back after you've been off of them for a while. Does that make sense? Have you worked on your gut? Because that's a big important part of it. Have you worked on the leaky gut stuff?
Yeah, I guess, because I've eliminated all the stuff that's supposed to be.
But that doesn't mean it. Some people eliminate gluten, don't feel great until they heal their leaky gut, and then they feel great. Okay, and we'll talk, this is part of this process. Okay. Okay? Any other questions? Let's see here.
Well, I think one of my symptoms is environmental. It's maybe dust allergy, and I'm very sensitive to weather changes. And I'm wondering, maybe as I heal my leaky gut, that those allergies or sensitivities might go away, but it's not going to be a food sensitivity.
It may not be, right? That's why we're here, is to try to help you figure that out. Okay. I would say in terms of that, if you're not already doing vitamin C and quercetin, consider that.
What is quercetin?
Quercetin is it's a constituent in a lot of foods like onions and there's a whole list of them, but it's a yellowish kind of pigment that is, it's a flavonoid, not a flavonoid, is it a flavonoid?
So are you suggesting just to eat those foods or to take a supplement?
No, I'm suggesting that you get it to deal with the histamine reactions until we figure out what's causing it. And if it is environmental and you're not going to move, you might have to just keep taking high dose vitamin C and quercetin. Quercetin is amazing. There, quercetin with vitamin C. That's what showing us. Okay. I get it as a powder. I buy
it. How do I know how much to take?
Micro Ingredients has a powder. As with anything, I like powders because you can gradually increase your amount. So if you have a problem with it, you know, and you find your sweet spot in terms of amounts. Micro Ingredients has a quercetin in powdered form, and 500 milligrams is kind of what their little baby scoop is. And you start with that, right? If you're having a histamine reaction, my recommendation when you're having a histamine reaction, even through this process, if you're going to be introducing foods and you have one of these histamine type reactions, well, what's a histamine reaction? The nose gets runny, the eyes start to feel swollen and maybe watery. Your skin you may have redness. Those are histamine type reactions. Difficulty breathing. You don't have to have all of them. You just have to have one of them to know. And then you take the quercetin with vitamin C, and you might take that every hour in an acute situation, right? And maybe you take 500 milligrams 2 or 3 times a day in a chronic situation. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Okay.
Dr. Rita Marie.
Okay. Yes.
Question about the tracker, the diet and symptom tracker.
Yep. This one.
On that, you know, there's the column for pain, another column for other symptoms. So am I understanding correctly that, because I deal with pain and other symptoms all day long, and they may vary, like, well, this hour it's more pain here and that hour it's more pain there. So I should track those in that column and then also track the food?
Yes.
They're not at the same time.
Yeah, so you just put, that's a great question. So you put the date, like say it's 10 in the morning and your energy went at 10 in the morning is an 8. Your stress level is whatever, right? You could take your glucose. Here's what you ate, right? And then you track. But if you suddenly get a symptom, you just put the time here and then you go all the way to this. All the other, this might be blank. There's no food there, but you put your symptoms and don't try to cram it all into the, you know, just spread it out as long as you need to. Put a symptom or two on each line. It's okay. And put your symptoms and rate them, right? And you may want to rate them. If you have specific symptoms, rate them first thing in the morning, right? When you get out of bed, elbow pain, knee pain, back pain, give them a rating. And that's your baseline for that day. Make sense? And then after you eat, if they change, you write them in. And that way you can see the timing with respect to a meal. So, consistently 1 hour after I ate a meal, whenever it has this food in it, my level goes up, right? And you can't tell that stuff by just living your life. You don't, right? It really does take careful tracking to get that. So you're tech savvy more or less. The Excel sheet might be one for you that you would put them in, right? You just rather than dealing with paper. It's totally up to everybody. Or chronometer. Right. In chronometer, you can put in your foods and you can put in the time. Make sure you check the time thing if you're doing it later. And then you can put your pain level first thing in the morning and put it down. And then you go back there later and put it in again in a note.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good question. If anybody else has anything on Facebook. Okay. All right. Okay, so we went to the diet and symptom tracker. Now comes the fun part, is to help you create this. I did this already. Create your personalized suspicious foods list. Okay, now we're gonna talk about how to create your plan for your elimination diet. I'm just gonna get started on this. I'm gonna give you the basic guidelines. I'm gonna finish this document tonight. And then I'm going to make sure that it's available to you, or I can at least show you during the call tomorrow and we can, I'll fluff it out. But let me pull this over so I can see it. Let's stop the share for now. And I'm going to pull this over. I'm going to start with elimination. So we're going to do it in three phases, actually. We're going to do elimination in three phases. And you know, some of you may want to just jump right in, and if you feel comfortable, if you've done fast before, you've done that, and you know you don't feel worse before you feel better, then that's fine. But this is what I'm recommending, to do it slowly. Food group one that you're going to eliminate: all foods you have a known or suspected sensitivity to. And that's where you go back to that chart that has the three columns, all the red foods on there. You might even leave out the suspected ones too, the yellow. So all the red and yellow foods you're gonna get rid of. Does that make sense? The next group is all grains and grain products. Many people have inflammatory reactions to grains, and it's best to eliminate all of them and then test. Because if you have an inflammatory reaction and you're thinking it's just gluten, but you're having it to rice or barley, or not barley is gluten, but rice or quinoa, because of some of the morphines, they're like the caseos, but they're different. The morphine-like substances in there, because of some of the other chemicals in there, you may have a problem with all the grains. So that's gluten, that's found in wheat, rye, barley, triticale, spelt, kamut, and somebody asked about einkorn. Anything containing these or derivatives of them, like barley malt, beer, etc. And I have a gluten-free, eliminate the gluten and accentuate your life. And there's a whole 3-page list of all the things that are hidden sources of gluten. So I'm going to put the link in this document and you'll have it. But it's on, if you go on the the nutrition page, the Body Freedom Nutrition page, and you go to, I'll show you. I'll share my screen again. And if we go to Body Freedom Nutrition and we scroll down, when you scroll up, it's one of the basic ones, and it says establish foundational food habits, and I have a tab on going gluten-free. Spinning. Okay, and when I scroll down here, there's all kinds of really good stuff about gluten-free and some extra interviews, but there's a book. See this one? Eliminate the Gluten. Let's see if this is the right one. Yeah, Eliminate the Gluten ebook. Okay, it's a 32-page book. Has a lot of stuff you probably already know. It has the transcript of a call that I did. It has an article I wrote. But as we go towards the end here, there's the hidden sources, there's all kinds of stuff. Okay, foods to avoid on a gluten-free diet. There's a lot of the stuff that's hidden sources that most people aren't aware of. So I recommend that you do this, print these pages out. It's page 27 to, so it's 27 to 30. So it's 4 pages. Print this out and have it handy and just make sure that the foods you're eating don't contain any of these. Like a lot of people think of barley malts or, you know, a lot of the macrobiotic type foods use barley malt. It's still going to have possibly traces of gluten. Okay. A lot of stuff. All right. Let me stop my share again. Go back to my list. Okay. Go back to Word. Okay. All right, so that's group two. So also the non-gluten grains, and if you feel like you want to do this over 2 days, if you've not already gluten-free, then do the gluten, and then the next day do the rest of the grains. But most of you I know are gluten-free, or a lot of you are, but a lot of the things that are non-gluten grains or the products are non-gluten grains, they can cross-react with gluten in your body. And there's a test that Cyrex Labs does. It even tests to see if you have cross-reactivity going on. So the gluten-free grains and the gluten-free products, a lot of those products that are gluten-free are actually really bad, right? So those grains would be rice, corn, millet, quinoa, oats, and teff. Okay, they cross-react. And Gina, you're going to freak out about the rice part. But it could be a problem. For you.
I'm already freaking out, Dr. Rita Marie, just thinking about it.
Yeah. Dairy products, right? These are kill. This is stuff I think you should always avoid. The grains, you may not have a sensitivity to grains that you have to eliminate these permanently. Like, you know, guy in wheat belly, just, you know, everybody should be off of them forever. But you're going to see how you react to them, okay? Animal milk. Cheese and products containing them. You also want to look for casein. A lot of times, this is so weird. Your vegan cheeses, they'll be like, oh, here, have this almond cheese, and it's got calcium caseinate. What people don't realize is that's dairy. Casein comes from dairy, and casein is the most allergenic of those. So there's problems with mucus formation. Dairy has galactose in it, which has been found to be associated with uterine cancer, right? They're mucus forming, they're inflammatory, so we're going to eliminate them. So group three, that's group three. I have my numbers wrong. So group four is all your sugars. So that's sugar, honey, high fructose corn syrup. All of these are problematic. So we're going to get rid of those. And all the while, you're seeing how you feel on this, right? If you're taking some time to adjust, go slower. Do one group, then do the next group. It doesn't have to be every day. It can be every other day. Some of you are going to accelerate it. Some of you are going to do, like, you know, the first five and all in one shot. Some of you are already doing the first five, the gluten, the grains. I know, Christine, you're not doing any of that, right? So you're already there part of the way. Then there's eggs are next. It's one of the top six allergens. That was my top allergen, which caused miserable migraines. And it took me a long time to figure it out till I did an elimination diet. Then the next group is the inflammatory oils, right? Heated, processed oils. They're causing inflammation. And right, we're trying to get the level of inflammation down. So hydrogenated oils, Crisco, mayonnaise, margarine, but also sunflower oil, safflower oil, they are inflammatory. They're omega-6 exclusively almost. And then they are also in a bottle and they've been undergoing oxidation because they're not properly treated. The next one is soy. If you've eliminated soy and found that it's not a problem for you, you don't have to do it, but I highly recommend that you do. And then you're going to look at your high glycemic. So let me talk about the sugar. So if you're used to putting honey in your tea or whatever you're using the sugars for, the ones that I recommend are Lohan or stevia. Preferably your green leaf stevia and preferably a Lohan powder extract. It's not mixed with, a lot of them are mixed with erythritol. Sugar alcohols can be problematic for a lot of people. And so if you have digestive issues, I highly recommend you stay away from the things like xylitol and erythritol and all of those. So stevia and Lohan, there's a new one out, allulose. I haven't tested it. I don't know much about it. Some of the alluloses are cut with erythritol or some of them have Lohan in them. If you've never had it before, I highly recommend that you just avoid it and just stick with those. Until there's more research on it. Okay.
Well, what about that monk fruit?
That's monk fruit. Lohan is monk fruit.
Lohan. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. Just read it carefully because a lot of them are cut with dextrose or erythritol or anything. You want pure monk fruit. Okay. And the last one, the eighth group eight is high glycemic fruits. Now, some of you have done Sweet Spot, you've tested, you know that you can eat high glycemic fruits and it's not a problem, then it's fine. It's really based on your blood sugar. So if you haven't tested your blood sugar, you haven't gone through the Sweet Spot, which you all have access to if you're an Empowered, then I would eliminate those for now. Okay. If you have and you figured out that you can eat, you know, a small amount of pineapple with a salad, then no problem. So you can go for it. Right. But berries and, you know, blueberries, raspberries, some of the apples, pears, those kinds of things are probably just fine. If you've tested your blood sugar and you found that those cause a problem, we're going to eliminate it. Okay. So you see what this is long list, right? There's also some other things that not everybody has to eliminate. That would be phase two. So once you've got through that first group, if it takes you a week or two to eliminate them all, what you're going to notice is you start to feel better. And if you're using the tracker, you're going to be able to see that your level of stress went down, your level of pain went down. Okay. Questions on that yet before I go into phase two?
So I have a question on the oil, Dr. Rita Marie. You said, sunflower oil, Crisco. Okay, what about the extra virgin oil? Is that okay?
Extra virgin olive oil should be fine. Okay. Yeah, and you can tell with olive oil when it's gone bad. It has that nasty, rancid smell to it. Coconut would be fine. I'm a big fan of no oils anyway, but when you're underweight and you need some extra calories and we're doing a lot of elimination here, then the oils might be that extra source of calories that you need.
Right? What about avocado?
Avocado's fine.
And then ghee?
Ghee is dairy. I would avoid it because you can't be sure that it's 100% free of the proteins.
I want to go back to, sorry, avocado, if that's okay, for example. Like, I guess you're going to get to that. Like, the things that we think that are healthy and so far are okay. But I know sometimes with avocado, although it hasn't happened in a while, I get breakouts, like, you know, like like oil breakouts. Like I don't digest oil very well.
We'll put it on your suspicious list and keep away from it for the weeks that we're going to do the elimination. So anything you have had experience like that, that goes right there and eliminate them. If you're suspicious, we're not, first of all, guys, this isn't a forever diet. This is an elimination diet that we're going to go through for a few weeks, and it's worth the sacrifice to figure out what foods are really best for you, right? You can't just say this food's good and this food's bad. It, like, you know, some people just totally can't take avocado, right? So you eliminate it.
I live in a cold climate. If I mean, I don't suspect I have a meat problem. Do I just eat more meat and get rid of all the nuts because I don't know what's going on?
Like, if you are suspicious of the nuts, you can get rid of them. I would stick, if you are going to eat meat, I wouldn't do a lot of it. I would look at your food frequency list. If you haven't been eating meat, you can add, I would say the best thing would be fish because of the high omega-3 content.
Oh, it's not a good fish source here isn't available. A good
source. So then you would look at the wild is next. Wild game would be next. So if you can find bison or deer or something that's wild, that would be your next best source. And then the third would be pastured, organic, you know,
yep.
Right, all that kind of stuff. Yep.
Okay, right. So, yeah, all right. It kind of freaks me out because I'm getting a lot of my calories from nuts, and I don't know what's going on.
So that could be something where you eliminate it for a week or so. You start to feel good on the elimination. You want to feel good on the elimination diet. That's the thing. So that you can go, okay, something I was doing was creating a problem, right? And so if you do, that could be one of your first things to add back, but I would not go with nuts, I'd more go with seeds. I would start with something like hemp seeds, right? Which they're not allergenic for very many people versus almonds. A lot of people are sensitive to them. They're high in oxalates, et cetera. Yeah, so you don't have to do the elimination diet, right? But the point of the elimination diet is to go, look, I've been doing all this great stuff for a long time and I still have some symptoms. What is it? Is there something there? And that's why we do the food frequency. So if you're looking and you usually eat, for somebody who eats, you know, beef every day, that's going to be on the, you're eating it frequently, it might be a problem, right? If you have a food that you are craving, that's going to be something you eliminate, right? The ideal was what I did was a 28-day water fast. Not everybody can do it. Everything got out of my system in 28 days, right? I didn't have anything left. And then I started introducing foods and I realized what I was problematic with. And I was very careful about introducing. I wasn't going to add back the junky stuff I was eating before. I just added back the real whole foods. And as much as you can do real whole foods while you're doing this, the better. You're in a cold climate. You want to take a big pot of soup. Wonderful. Make a big pot of soup with all your veggies in it, right? And if you need a little meat in there, you put a little meat in there. But that gives you the broth. It's warming. The other thing is, what was I going to say about that? The warming soup. Yeah. So the other thing that you can do is eliminate all of the nuts and seeds for a week and then go, okay, I'm feeling really good. Let me try some hemp seeds because it's such a high protein grain. It's a seed, right? It'll give you the protein, and you can also blend them into, like, you take the soup stock with some of the veggies and then you add some of the hemp seeds and you put them in the blender and you make up a really nice creamy blended vegetable soup. Warming, nutritious, and that's going to give you that. And the other thing you can do during this, if you're concerned about protein, you know, if you're taking away your protein sources, is the protein powders, right? If you know that they're not a problem. So we can just take them away for a week and then add it back. If you're away from something for a week and you add it back, you'll generally know, especially if you've lowered the baseline. So if your symptom baseline, your aggravation, your inflammation baseline is up here and you add something to it, you're not going to really be able to tell. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, it's just this little extra in the pool. But if you can get that level down and then you add something in, you're going to be able to tell better.
Okay.
Make sense? Yeah. Elimination diets aren't easy, but they can be very
good. Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah.
I've been using this amazing grass protein powder, and I think that I'm not digesting it very well. So I stopped doing it for about a week now. And I'm wondering, like, what it would be like, maybe I need a protein powder that's just one or two ingredients, or what
would I be would go with single ingredient protein powders. Actually, the one that's lowest in and allergenicity is Sacha Inchi. It's not expensive. It's not something you grew up on. It's from South America, unless you grew up in Brazil and you ate Sacha Inchi seeds all the time. How many here have even heard of Sacha Inchi, let alone tried it? Okay, you can find, you've tried it, Lynn.
Okay, I have some in my pantry, actually. Okay, so okay. I'll try
Very
that.
Simple, it's usually just the one ingredient. Some people have a problem with pea protein. They can't digest it well.
I have a question. I might be jumping ahead. How long do you stay on the elimination before you reintroduce? And I'm curious about the water fast. Am I jumping ahead? Are you going to get to that?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that, but it's going to vary from person to person.
Yeah, I think I can do the water fast at least one day at a time.
You can do one day. You can do a 4-day water fast would be phenomenal for getting things out of your system, and you'll know. Unless you have symptoms during the water fast, you know, if you have withdrawal symptoms or things like that. But how long is going to vary? Minimum, I think 7 days, okay. Ideally 2 to 3 weeks, but it depends on how great you feel. If you're feeling phenomenal, but if you're still feeling like I have these symptoms, then you're going to have to tailor it and pull things out. That's why I have the phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3 of elimination, right? If you can just do the beginning part of the elimination and feel good, then you don't need to go into the next phase I have is nightshades and other things like that, which oxalates makes it more difficult, right? So if you can get really good results by just doing phase 1, then there's no reason for you to do the phase 2 or 3 elimination. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I know my issues around the gut, and it seems like if I was able to do a water fast, it would be good for me to reintroduce. And I feel better not eating. I do better not eating. So I think I may be able to handle it.
Just be careful, you know, that you're feeling okay doing it, right? You're not feeling like you're going to pass out. You may, you know, some people don't adapt very well. And I know somebody who she tries intermittent fasting. If she gets to 17 hours, she's fine. If she goes beyond 17 hours, she gets sick. She doesn't feel well.
Yeah, I can do 24 hours. Yeah. I've done that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is we don't want to get ourselves to be so what they call it orthorexic, right? Where you're not eating anything. You got 4 foods that you're eating. But if it takes just eating 4 foods for a couple of months in order to get to the other side of it and feel well, you'd be willing to do it. I don't want this to be lifelong. I don't want you going, yeah, I want you off the crap for life, right? I want you off the sugar for life.
Right.
Gluten, dairy, they're not really foods for human consumption, in my opinion, right? It's just not, you know, the best thing for us. So those things I'd like you to be able to continue. The only things I want you to continue lifelong would be the things that no matter what, when you add it back in, feel like crap.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes some of us have genetic tendencies to be sensitive to oxalates, genetic tendencies to not react to histamines very well. And so foods that are high histamine, you may have to leave out. So those kind of things. But most of this is meant to be a temporary thing to get us to the end result. If everybody did fast, we'd do it.
So to stay off food for at least a week up to 2 weeks is what you're saying. If you don't.
You're feeling great at a week, then you can start introducing. If you're not, I would say 3 to 4 weeks is going to be better, right? Okay. But if you're at the end of 2 weeks, you're going, wow, okay, I think this is working. I feel good. I'm going to start to introduce. You have to be able to tell the difference, right? If you're still feeling bloated or gassy or brain fogged, how are you going to know if you added a food, if it actually did you any good? So you want to keep pulling things out then. until you get to that point where you feel better. Okay. Feel like you could tell when you introduce things back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a challenge, and trying to do this on your own is challenging. Right? That's why we're doing it this way.
Dr. Rita,
his hand up. Yeah, go ahead.
You were mentioning that protein, the pea. Did you say that the pea protein was really the best?
No, I said Sacha Inchi.
Could you spell that?
S-A-C-H-A. Let me put it in the chat. I-N-C-H-I. S-A-C-H-A-I-N-C-H-I. And it's because it's a single ingredient. The pea, for some, it's beautiful. For some people, it gives them gas and bloating, right? So I would say the Sacha Inchi, because most of you have never had it before, is unlikely to cause you a problem, right? Yeah. Any brand recommendations? No. I've gotten some from Terrasol. I just look to see, you know, I don't know. It has to be organic and high quality, but Terrasol is one I've gotten for my son. Raw Food World used to have a really good one, but I don't think they exist anymore. I think Matt Monarch started a new site, and I don't know what the name of it is, and I don't know if they have that. Yeah.
What is that? What is the Sacha Inchi anyway?
It's a seed. It's a seed that grows in South America.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's high protein, high in omega-3. That's the other good thing about it. Okay.
Dr. Rita, I have a question.
Yeah.
When you're talking about hemp seeds, are shelled hemp seeds, like the hemp hearts, okay?
That's what I was talking about. I like that better than hemp protein. I mean, you could certainly try hemp protein powder, which is more concentrated, and those are good sources of protein as well. And if you're having trouble with fat digestion, then try the hemp protein, because then it doesn't have the fat in it. You know, if you have a gallbladder issue, or you're not making enough digestive enzymes that break down the fat, or if you've done a stool test and it showed fecal fat. Okay. I think we're going to stop with the phase one until I finish the document, and then we'll go over phase two tomorrow, because it's already overwhelming, right? It's already overwhelming. And I'll make sure I get this document done by today, but really just focus on that phase one, and make sure you've done your tracking right now before you start. And so that any suspicious foods like avocado, if occasionally when you eat avocado, you get that, then you want to eliminate that during this process, right? Any of the suspicious foods and the absolute no foods, we're going to eliminate during our diet, our elimination diet.
I was just hoping that you could tell us what to eat. Because we talked about what not to eat, huh?
So you'll go back to your sheet. If you follow that, you take your sheet that you filled out with the frequency, and then you do the red, green, and yellow, the go, no, and slow. The green stuff is what you can eat. So follow that, the directions in there. And it's going to be different from person to person. If somebody has an oxalate or nightshade sensitivity, I'm not going to tell them to eat potatoes or tomatoes or kale or spinach, maybe kale, certain kind of kale you can. So
basically vegetables that we don't normally eat.
Those are the best.
That's what you're recommending?
The ones that you eat less frequently. Yeah. And then the ones that you eat frequently, if you go, every time I eat arugula, I just feel on top of the world. I just feel great. Okay. You're going to eat it. Even if you've been eating it every day, it's fine. Right. Oh my God. Every time I eat a tomatillo, I just feel like, it's just such a good thing. It makes my stomach feel good. Good, eat tomatillo, right? We'll talk next about the different stuff. And I have a chart that, it's not 100% finished, but I don't think it ever will be, because some of the information is just not available. But it's basically a chart of symptoms on one column, and then all the different food categories that you may or may not want to be eliminating or including. So for example, if you have like these five symptoms that you go through and you circle your symptoms. And if you have these five symptoms that relate to oxalate sensitivity, maybe oxalates or something you're gonna eliminate here. If you have one symptom, probably not. You need to have a cluster. Same thing with salicylates or other things. And I have that chart, and we'll go over it tomorrow. I'll pull it up on the screen and I'll teach you how to go through that.
Here's my question. If I can't be there tomorrow, will it be replayed?
Oh, it's all recorded, yeah. And yeah. I'll put it on the site, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And my last question is, what's the timeline? Are you going to be working with us like once a week or?
I got to see how much you need, quite frankly. You know, okay. At the beginning, it might be more than that. I'm just going to have to find the times that I can do these. And you may or may not be able to come to them live.
Okay.
But we have the Facebook group too. So I would post questions in the Facebook group. If you're stuck and you're going, I'm not sure. This is what I came up with. Is this okay? You can post it in the Facebook group.
So if I'm ready to do the water fast, I could get started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Then you'll be ready for reintroduction. But do the food lists, you know, the no go slow, because that's how you're going to reintroduce things.
Yeah, right?
Especially on a water fast, you have to go slow and you're going to take things in the green and you're going to introduce them and see how you feel, you know. And then I was going to say, if you're craving something in the yellow or red, then you can try it. But if you're craving it, it may mean that you're sensitive to it, right? It could mean that your body needs the nutrients in it, though. If you're craving broccoli because you left out broccoli.
Yeah, broccoli and arugula. I got it. That was what was confusing me was, okay, I eat this stuff. You know, if I eliminated arugula, broccoli, and the greens, what do I eat? So you clarified that.
And there's some unusual greens that you may not eat on a regular basis. Missouri lettuce or, you know, kohlrabi or some of these other
kohlrabi things. I don't eat that much kale, so I could add that.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, we're going to do that piece. That's the second phase, like seeing how you're doing with those eliminations. And then do I need to eliminate? Do I have a lot of joint pain? Do I have a lot of, you know, elbow pain? Even though I've eliminated all this, I still have joint pain. And maybe time to look at nightshades, right? If you have urinary type symptoms or frequency or like, kind of things in your eyes that feel like you have stuff in your eyes or vulvodynia, you know, pain in the vulva area that doesn't seem to have any relationship. It might be the oxalates, right? So, but I don't want to just jump in and say, like, unless you're willing to do a fast or can do a fast, we can't do 28-day water fast and continue.
No.
You have to have a place to do it, right? And you have to be supervised to do that. But you don't want to eliminate so many foods that you're down to like five foods and then you develop sensitivities to them because you're eating them so frequently. And you don't want to really eliminate so many of the nutrients. Okay. A lot of people ask, should I eliminate my vitamins during this? I would say no initially, but if you're still having issues, you want to look really carefully at them because a lot of supplements, especially ones from like Life Extension, they have rice flour in them. And if you do have a really severe sensitivity to rice flour, it may not be good, right? So it's looking at the supplements. But right now, if you're on supplements just because you read an article about it and thought it sounded good for you, then maybe you eliminate those. If you're on a supplement that like, I went on omega-3s and my depression went away, don't stop, please. Like, don't stop, right? Or your psychiatrist said, oh yeah, instead of going on Prozac, just add omega-3s. Don't stop those things, right? But if you just read it on Mercola's site, bought it, and started taking it, then, you know, you can eliminate them and then add it back and see how it feels. If you have supplements that you just started within the last few weeks, probably stop them. Unless, again, like I said, it was something that makes you feel like top of the world. I don't know if Denise is on today, but she started taking this thing called ThyroCare. She, like, it was so amazing, right? Because it was helping her with the thyroid function. I don't want her to stop that, right? I know that that's actually doing really well for her. So that's the thing about supplements. Just making an educated guess. Some people are on 27 supplements. Wheaton, I just talked to you earlier. We put you on some, you know, digestive stuff. No, don't stop your supplements now. This is what we're trying to heal your gut. We already have the reason for some of your problems is because of some gut stuff. So that's the sort of stuff I want you to really be aware of. Okay.
On the water fast, you can have herb tea, right? Or no, just water.
Unless it's an herb that you're suspicious of. I do herb tea. Sometimes I just do water with hot water. But lately I've been doing like a ginger tea.
Okay.
An herb tea.
I want to try. What about the reishi tea? I was thinking of doing that. You know, say,
Yeah. Is it something you've not had before?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I was after your class yesterday. I want to add it.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I think that would be fine.
Okay.
It does have carbohydrate in it, so it's you're not going to necessarily be in a true water fast.
Okay.
Because the herb tea, that the reason is you're actually taking the reishi, the extracted reishi, and putting the powder in there versus with a tea bag, it's still just water, right?
Right.
The herbs stay in there. So that's my concern.
Okay.
Right. And there's carbohydrate in those mushrooms, and it may not get you into that full. So, you know, from a standpoint of doing a fast, when I do a fast, it's really, I want to get into autophagy. I want to get into that maximum state of detoxification, which I've been in for the last 4 days. I got in it really quickly this time. And I would say that I don't want to leave that. I don't want to get out of that, right? Because right now I feel like that's what I'm going for. If I was doing the fast for just finding out what the food sensitivities were, then having the reishi tea, or, you know, even some people do some like coconut oil and things like that to help them through a fast, that kind of fast would be fine for trying to figure out your food sensitivities.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, so you're like, I just can't make it anymore. Just have your herb tea and put a little bit of coconut oil. It may up your ketones and help you to get through it, right? Assuming you don't have a problem with coconut oil, which I doubt. But it may be a problem for some people with a stressed out gallbladder. Although coconut is less likely.
Yeah, I have
MCT no problem. Oil would be better than coconut oil because MCT is pure medium chain triglycerides, and it goes straight. It doesn't really need the gallbladder to digest it.
Okay.
There's a lot to consider here. And we're just trying to, you know, Ronnie, you still look confused. So Ronnie has her hand up. Go for it, Ronnie. Ronnie and then Lynn.
Salt. I want to know, like I got, I'm like a salt junkie. It goes from sweet to salt. Like I want that salt. Sugar, I understand. The sweet stuff, and there is no sugar. It's like erythritol. It's Lujan.
Yeah. Don't stop the salt, because it sounds to me like your adrenals are kind of whacked out, and that's why you're craving the salt.
Okay? So
good quality, whole sea salt, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Little minerals, but don't stop your salt.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Lynn and then Catherine. Lynn?
I think I want to table my question until your phase 2 and 3, because it has to do with inflammatory gut and some of those things that you might answer.
Yeah, definitely we'll go over that.
Okay.
Great. All right, Catherine.
Hi, so question about oxalates.
Yeah.
Where do I was looking on the site to try to figure out more information on oxalates, and I can't find where that info is on the site. Could you point
me? We have it in a couple of places, but it's not as thorough as some of the oxalate sites. So where you would find it is in the Spring Into Vitality videos from 2016. And in there, I have a whole presentation on some of that. I did some of that at the thing we did over the summer, the 2-day thing we did over the summer. I did some of that in the food religions there. Best way is to go to, you know, Finding Low Oxalates. What's her name? Owen, something Owen. I forgot her first name, but Owen is her last name. And she does a lot of research on that. And she has a lot of charts. And there's a lot of charts on the web about low oxalate. They differ from one to another. They're not that consistent, which is confusing, but you get a general gist of it and you can understand why, what they are. There was a good article. Let me see if I can find it. I thought I saved it in my Evernote. I'll find it later and I'll post it. There's a good article about oxalates, like why there's a problem and what they cause and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to be doing that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be doing that on Tuesday. Next week? Maybe it's next Tuesday. I've got to get prepared for it. But I'm going to do a thing on oxalate sensitivity, just should you be concerned.
Oh, great. Because I'm thinking for me, oxalates might be all in the yellow. So I want to make sure I capture them all.
Oh, well, just about everything. Everything has oxalates in it. So you can't go no oxalate, and you have to be careful about removing oxalates, not to go too fast, because you can have an oxalate dumping situation. So with oxalates, you have to gradually reduce them. But the only food I know for sure has zero oxalates, other than, you know, maybe some fish or whatever, is arugula. Like, spinach is off the charts. Rhubarb is off the charts. Curly kale is like in the 400s per serving, whereas dinosaur kale, the Jacinto kale, Lacinato kale, is in the 30s. So it's like way different, way different, right? So you have to find one of those charts. And I never posted one of the charts or links to the charts because they're changing all the time. I did post some links and then they all of a sudden they moved their thing. But it's very easy to find if you just look up low oxalate food charts and poke around.
Great.
Okay? Susan Owen is her first name, Susan Owen. Okay. She has a good website and then she has a Facebook group as well. Right. And a lot of times when there's a lot of joint pain, when there's a lot of issues, right, with pain, it can be sensitivity to oxalates. In your genes, look in your genes. The report that shows it really well is the metabolic healing. He has a whole section that shows you your SNPs that are related to oxalates. Yeast overgrowth in your gut can lead to high oxalates. So whenever somebody has oxalate problems, we got to get the gut handled. Okay.
Cool. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, guys, let me check back on the Facebook to see if anybody has posted any questions there.
Dr. Rita?
Yeah.
I've got a quick question. You mentioned in the beginning about like a guest that's not part of the program being able to join. How would they go about doing that?
I will give you the link. I just saw the email come out yesterday with the link. I think if they just go to, yes, right now, we have a special thing going on and they will just get access to the nutrition lab. But then if they want to upgrade to the empowered, they can. But right now they don't need to. They can just do a month in the nutrition lab for now. And it's bodyfreedomnutritionlab.com. I'll put it in here. And bodyfreedomnutritionlab.com. I'm going to click it and make sure it works. Well, it's not clickable for some reason. Copy that link, go to Chrome, add it and make sure it works. And it should say right at the top. And that special is only good till Monday because I don't want them to be too far behind if they join. So 2 days, 20 hours and 25 minutes. What happened to my note at the top? I had special at the top. I'll have to add that back. But if you scroll down, it tells them all about the lab. And then it says New Year's special, join for 2 weeks and be part of the fully guided elimination diet for just $10. And then after that, they pay to, continue. Okay.
Okay. I got that here. Thank you.
Great. Yeah.
And do you have a list of like when the calls are for this or are they to be determined?
It's still to be determined. I'll sit down with that. You know, I wanted to get a sense of where you guys were at and how much time we really needed. So I have to look at my calendar to see when I have availability. So we'll have another one tomorrow.
Okay.
And then probably, I'm going to look at my calendar, probably not until we'll see how it goes. I mean, I could potentially do it Monday in the evening. What happened to my, somebody removed my weekly Facebook Live from there. So I could potentially do it Monday. Let's see. I could potentially do it. This is this week. Never mind. I'm looking at the wrong week. I'm like, huh? I already did that. Yeah, I could potentially do it Thursday evening at 7:30, or I could potentially do it at the same time earlier on Friday or next Saturday. So I'll look at the calendar, maybe a little bit earlier on Wednesday. So I'll look at the calendar and see. and just based on how many of the questions we can get through tomorrow.
And yeah. will that be sent out in like an email when you're going to have
to Yeah, are you getting emails?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah. I will send it out an email and I'll have recording links and I'll tell you where the recordings are. I'm going to put them on the elimination diet pages. Okay?
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, let's see. What time tomorrow? Same time as today, 1 o'clock Central. And I tried to do it early in the day so that people who are in Europe wouldn't have to stay up till we had a call yesterday at 5:30 on the herbal class. And we still had one person from the UK on it, but that was like, it started at 11:30 at night for her. So I'm trying to make them earlier that the people that are overseas can make it, but not too early that the people in Australia and New Zealand can't make it. So, oh, it's the same link as this one, David. Same link as this one.
Oh, good.
You're not getting the link. You're not getting the emails either. Write to Christina. Everybody write to helpdesk@drritamarie.com so we can have a master list of everybody that's not getting them and see why.
Dr. Rita Marie, I was convinced I didn't get it. But then she looked and I said, can you please find out when I did get it because I hadn't opened it. I got my last one January 5th. So if you look on January 5th, because I looked at it and I didn't see it 3-4 times. It was really irritating, but apparently January 5th, I've got it. So some of you guys may have that problem. Maybe not. I don't know, but January.
I'm going to make sure from now on, I put elimination diet in parentheses, right at the beginning of the subject line.
It had it. I didn't see it. So
yeah, it's easy because if you're overwhelmed with email and spam, we get a lot of spam, mm-hmm. right? It's easy to miss. So January 5th, great. Yes, same place, same time. I only received the initial email, have not gotten more any after that. I don't understand what's happening because people are saying they didn't get this one, but they got like the one that I talked about, the New Year's gifts. That kind of thing. So I don't understand.
Didn't get any of them.
You didn't get any of them? Are you getting any emails from me?
No. But I think it's my server. We figured I'm going to call Microsoft and get that set.
Yeah. If you're not getting any emails from me, then yeah. If you're not getting certain ones, then your server is saying, oh, this is, they're not even showing you that it's spam. They're just throwing it away.
The ones I get is if I go into the website and click on add event. Yeah, and I do scrub my spam and they're not in there.
Weird.
It is okay, weird.
That's why I will check the Facebook group. That's why I want to make sure everybody's in the
right
Facebook group.
Yeah, because if you can put it in the Facebook group, that helps because I do.
The other day I was like, I can't put this in the Facebook group. There's only like just a fraction of people in here. Nobody's going to see it. So that's why I created these emails. And it went out to hundreds of people that are in between all the programs because the practitioner program, the ERC program, the empowered self-care and the nutrition lab, there's quite a few people in those programs. So it went out to lots of people. I checked that.
I've received like 2 emails. I'm not sure how many you sent or if you sent a reminder today. So does that sound about today.
No, yeah. That's why I said in the last email, I said, please put this on your calendar because I'm kind of handling these emails by myself without the team. So we're not setting up the typical range of
All right. I just wanted to make sure I was getting what you sent out, but it sounds like I did. I got New Year's Eve and then 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. I think the only two that I had the actual links in, because before that we weren't sure what the dates were. Okay. Hope this was helpful.
Lou? Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm gonna go. Yay. I have a question.
Done.
That'll be my question for today. Who has a question?
Lou, and it's not necessarily about this, but in your therapeutic healing that you're doing every Thursday evening, next week is the third Thursday is a conflict with our ERC small group meeting. Is it possible for us to change the small group meeting then? Without you having to pay people to do it, because there are only like 6 of us in the group.
You can talk to your coach If all six of them are in the program, they're all going to want to agree. You just have to make sure your coach can do a different time.
Okay. So yeah. It's I can tell Steph that it's okay for us to move the meeting to a different day or time if we can all agree
upon it. We're a little late. What time is that meeting?
Exact same time as your therapeutic, 6:30.
Yeah. I've got to, it's so hard to coordinate all these times and dates and stuff.
Well, originally her meetings were supposed to be at 11 a.m.
Oh, that's
Eastern
why we
didn't time.
That's and why, then, yeah.
And then she got a job during the day, so you had to move it to the evening. So that's okay. Where that conflict came in.
Okay, yeah. Because we were trying to be so careful about not overlapping the coaches' meetings and all that.
Okay. So I can contact her.
If you contact her and she's willing to do it and contact the people in the group, then, you know.
Well, she was going to try to do, she had emailed everybody about a December meeting, moving it up a week earlier since Christmas was the 25th. And whoever is in charge of sending out the email said she couldn't do that because it was too costly to have to contact everybody. Mm-hmm. So, and then also that you were only supposed to have 10 meetings a year, not 12. So,
yeah. So if you guys want to handle it, you got to do it without us to reschedule.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so it's okay for her to do it if we handle it internally within the group.
If you handle it internally and you have a little, what's those things, the little telephone lines where somebody calls the other people and you let everybody know, then that's fine. As long as it doesn't she has to check the schedule to make sure it doesn't conflict with somebody else's, because all of the small groups use the same line. They use the same Zoom account.
All right. I will pass that on to her because I don't want to miss either one. So
I know. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, guys. Have a great rest of the day.
Bye.
Hopefully see you all tomorrow, and I hope this was helpful.